IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We've been in the sky a lot this week and on the tennis court. Not me, obviously, but Richard has had a wonderful week playing tennis.
Well, we've had, we do have a really serious topic for today. But before we get serious, it's really been an interesting time because I had two tennis tournaments. That sounds so flippant. I mean, it's like, what do? Just play tennis? You're an old guy. Why are you even playing? But I'm doing it because it's my only way to keep the old body moving, right? But interestingly, we spent 1 week in Laguna Beach, actually Newport Beach.
Newport, yeah.
On the West Coast. Beautiful beach. Many of you have been there, and it's just gorgeous. And then we spent the next week, we went directly from there to Virginia Beach. So from the Pacific to the Atlantic, both on beaches, both for tennis tournaments.
Both very different.
Both very different.
When we got to that Virginia Beach, we lived in Virginia and McLean for several years. So we loved going back to Virginia, but we really hadn't been on the beach. So we went and it was a hurricane. I mean, not really, but almost.
It was a hurricane watch.
It was
down the
in
coast.
South Carolina, just down the coast. But man, it rained so hard. It was so humid. It was really amazing.
But didn't you love that, Linda? Because we were on a high floor of a hotel with just glass, and all we could see as far as we could look up and down the beach was this ocean. And the ocean is really interesting when the waves
was
are
rolling
coming in, and it was like turbulent.
Sandy beach, nobody on the beach because the wind was blowing everybody away. In between hotels, you really had to hang on to each other not to blow away.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. This sounds really spoiled, honey.
Well, but there's a board. There's a boardwalk that goes 7 miles, did we decide?
Yeah.
That you can walk up and down, but it was just too windy and too rainy and too awful to go until the last 2 days. In the last 2 days, yesterday and the day before, we got to go up and down the beach and see this 27-foot statue of Neptune, King Neptune. That's their biggest tourist attraction.
Yeah, it was beautiful, though.
But we did some historic things. Chesapeake Bay, where so much happened, where the
beginning of the colonies, James.
Yeah,
King Jamestown. King Henry. It was really fun. We went to an old lighthouse it was built just before the Revolutionary War
Just after,
I guess. Anyway, it was really
octagonal, and I'm partial to octagons, as some of you know. And
we climbed up 109 chairs to get up, and 109 stairs to get down. But beautiful view.
But I want to tell you, it's so fun to travel with us, Linda, because she puts up with the tennis matches and sits there and watches, and
else would I do?
Well, you could take the car and just go somewhere to the beach, but you hang out with me.
It's fun. It's so funny. Should we announce that your birthday's coming up?
You don't need to get into that. For people to know I'm playing in these senior divisions, and
it's a way
my national ranking is going up every year. Not that I'm getting better, but it's a war of attrition, and one or two of the guys that I can't beat yet kind of drop out.
Yeah.
And if I can just stay with it for another few years, I'll just have to show up and they'll hand me the trophy.
I doubt that's going to happen. However, there are three or four fabulous players. It is just amazing. They've played their whole lives and almost impossible to beat. But they're
professionals. They're basically tennis
all their
professionals.
Lives. Yeah.
But anyway, we had a great time, and I even have a little poem. Linda hasn't even heard this, but I wrote this on the plane on the way home. So I'm going to read you a poem
right now,
honey. This is
good. You
sharing it with the radio audience, podcast audience at the same time.
And so might I say this is not unusual.
What?
He writes a lot of poetry.
Well, you know, what happens is if you want to remember, the best way to remember, and we wish we'd done this for the last 35 or 40 years traveling. I wish I'd just written one little poem about each place, because poems have a way to bring back memories even better than pictures do. But anyway, here's this one. It's called Two Beach Tennis, Successive Mirror Weeks in September. Newport and Virginia, opposite coast beaches, sunsets into one ocean, sunrises out of the other, both long and flat and smooth, with long boardwalks and wharfs. Tennis on one, where I learned there are only half a dozen I can't beat yet. Tennis on the other, where I refined enough to win the consolation final and get revenge. Glorious Linda on both. In the Duffy boat on Pacific, in the lighthouse on Atlantic, laying out her extraordinary five facets on the second night at the Driftwood Kitchen, fresh chef seafood every night in both places. John Wayne and Ronnie Reagan on the west, Washington, Hamilton, and Chesapeake Bay on the east, Shawnee's Condo and the Bay Ocean on the Pacific, Hyatt's Corner Glass Room on the stormy Atlantic. Productive plane rides home with good habits in place. Life is good. Well, see, we'll be able to read that in 10 years and remember some of those details.
It will be so fun, but the only problem with that one line is glorious, Linda. Honestly, I look like a bushwoman with that humidity. Oh my gosh, it was
that's what I think is crazy.
No,
we have this running battle. I like Linda's hair to be wild and full, and she thinks it looks a little like a bushwoman.
It does, believe me. Anyway, that was a really lovely time. We wish we could have had you all with us, or that we could talk back and forth. We've talk to enough people who say, hey, I follow you on Fire and Irons on the Road. And it just feels good to know that there are some people out there who are not just talking in the computer. So thank you for joining us and for giving us that moment to reflect.
You know, it is so funny because those of your long-term listeners know that for years and years and years, in fact, the reason our podcast named Irons on the Road is we were always traveling on book tours or speaking tours. So we were always in and out and give a speech and maybe have one day to look around or whatever, and then off to the next place. And it's so different now because we're traveling more for pleasure and much, much less for speaking. About the only speaking we do these days is to grandparents or online on Zoom somewhere.
Once in a while, somebody has to
speak. Yeah, so it's kind of great. And we can focus on different things. So let me explain a couple of the lines in that poem. In Newport Beach, John Wayne is the guy because he lived there most of his life. And, you know, he even built the building that we were staying in. And so we were kind of into his. Do you know John Wayne made 167 feature-length movies? Can you even imagine? Some of you young listeners don't even know who John Wayne is. Some of you older ones will be surprised he made that many movies, and they were mostly Westerns. And there were lots of pictures. There's a museum in Newport Beach, and there's lots of photos of John Wayne and his wife and the Reagans, Ronald and Nancy Reagan. And we just happened to see the movie Reagan while we were there. So besides the beach and the tennis, we were sort of focused on John Wayne and Ronald Reagan. And
which was kind of a trip back in time for us, because you wrote the campaign plan for Reagan's second time around and knew a lot of those people in the movie. That was really fun.
That was super fun. And then on the East Coast in Chesapeake Bay, we were reading about, you know, this is George Washington was the president and Alexander Hamilton was the Secretary of the Treasury. And they're the ones that appoint, that's you know, signed the laws to build this first lighthouse in North America on Cape Henry. And they actually chose the first lighthouse keeper, who was a really interesting, crusty old guy. And so
I love history. I used to hate it when I was a kid, but I just am so delighted by history. It was really fun.
It was really fun. Now, Linda's given me the sign, get on with it. So what we want to talk about, this is, we're back to the three-letter lessons, and this is number 39, the 39th three-letter lesson. Again, all a three-letter lesson is one little word or one, three initials of something that we think is important to think about. And we hope they become little word pegs that people can remember and that we can remember that kind of remind us of something we want to think about or want to do or an attitude we want to have or a paradigm with which we want to view something. Or in some cases, remind us of something we don't want to do, something that's a danger, kind of a warning or a caution, something that we want to get away from. And that's what the one is today. And the three-letter lesson is TFG, TFG. Any, take a guess out there. What would that stand for of something that we think is really problematic and that we ought to really be warned against and watched out for? And the answer is taking for granted.
Or take for granted.
Take for granted.
It really is true. And it's so interesting that we thought of this morning, because we've both been saying, oh, I'm so grateful for this. I'm so grateful for this.
Little things.
Just little things. I mean, in between trips, I had a nice washer and dryer. I could just wash my clothes, get them dry, put them back in a suitcase again. I thought of my poor grandmothers who were on those washboards, and it was the biggest deal of their week to wash and so on.
We even got thinking about toilets for a while and how awful life would be without the simple toilet.
Yeah. Well, even the porta potty at Fort Henry, that was all they had. But, you know, we're grateful for whatever we can get.
But this idea, we all fall prey to taking things for granted. And the problem with taking things for granted is it is the opposite of gratitude. It's the opposite of awe. It's the opposite of awareness and appreciation. We just take things for granted, which strips away the beautiful feelings of appreciation and marvel at the world we live in and the beauty of it, and on and on and on. We just sort of take them for granted.
So even if you just look around where you're sitting right now, you can just be grateful for so many things. A stove you can turn on and cook, and an oven, a blender, which Richard uses every single day, and forces kale and spinach and all kinds of crazy stuff down me every day for health.
We call it our vitamins. Linda takes her vitamins every day. She's pretty good about it. Have you finished yours yet?
Yes.
Almost. Okay.
But it really is so interesting that everything you look at, you can be grateful for, especially if you've had a down day when everything seemed to go wrong, which we had one of those.
Yes, we did. And I want to get into that after the break a little too, but just for a minute while we take a break, think about the problem of taking things for granted. I mean, think about how, like, our planes were on time yesterday. We had to make a connection. We got home in time. We were so tired. We were so glad to be here. And yet we just sort of took that for granted. But think how we would have felt if one had been late and we'd missed the connection, we had to spend the night in the airport. In other words, can you figure out a way to make the gratitude for things going okay match the emotion you would have felt, the disappointment, the irritation, the anger, the frustration that would have happened if that hadn't gone well?
Right.
Plane had been late. So we just need to work on not taking things for granted.
So we're going to leave that with you for a minute. And hang on, we're going to be right back talking about TFG.
Welcome back to Ayers on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back talking about taking things for granted. Wow. We do it every day. And yet you turn on the TV and think of all those people in bunkers, in war, and there is more and more all over the world, not only through in the Middle East, but in Somalia, everywhere. And think of how sad that is. I was just listening to the radio on the way home, and this lady said, I just go from one bomb shelter to the next. And I know it's just, we're going to try and be safe. She said, I was standing with a reporter yesterday in Lebanon. I mean, this dates this, but when they got their emergency signals on their telephones, the people that I was talking to, you know, take cover, were being bombed. And I just think, wow, we are so lucky that we live in peace. And all we can do really is pray for those who are in such desperate straits right now in Gaza, everywhere.
So we haven't prepared this and don't have a list in front of us or anything, but just spontaneously, maybe you listeners can do this with us. What if, Linda, we just had 2 or 3 minutes to sort of list the things that we take for granted all the time that we really ought to not take for granted? There ought to be some rim or some sense of gratitude and appreciation and joy for those things all the time, but we're so used to them that we take them for granted. I'll have a little contest with you, and you listeners do the same, and we'll just bounce back and forth. The clear air that's here today.
Ooh, that's beautiful. The refrigerator I see in front of me that's totally empty, but we're going to easily just go to the grocery store and fill it up.
The fact that I won that finals match day before yesterday in the tiebreaker in the third set, I mean, I'm happy about that, but I would have been devastated if I lost it. So why am I not equally happy that I won it? I shouldn't take it for granted.
I don't think you would have been devastated, honey. You take a disappointment pretty well. But how about, I'm so grateful that I can just wash my hair. It's just really in terrible shape, but I can just wash my hair and I have a nice shower. Oh, so many people don't have that.
Well, convenience. You went out today and we're having a little get together today. And in 1 hour, you were able to get all the things you need. And you just picked them right up and there they were.
Brought them back.
Costco.
just all the conveniences we have here. We have just sent out, I don't know if we've said or not, but we have 5 missionaries, young missionaries out in the field right now for our church. And it is really so delightful. But wow, you know, one of them is just, oh, this is great. Everything's fine. Everybody's being so nice. And then another one's like, well, on the way to our first home, there was a truck in the middle of the road with rocks in it, blockade. We sat there for 6 hours. Nothing happened. We called the bishop from a faraway community. He brought his truck. We got in the back of the truck and we went to our apartment, which was concrete, total concrete, one little bed, one little sheet, and cockroaches running up and down the walls and so on. And you just think, oh my gosh, what a great experience for that kid. I mean, really, my first thought. He will remember that forever. It's so good to be submerged in dire situations once in a while in order to really appreciate what you have.
Absolutely. And I'll just parlay on that a little. So here's these 5 young 19-year-olds, basically, and they're all okay. They're in really third world locations, but they're okay. And we sort of take that for granted. Now, if one of them was really sick or had a big problem, we would feel with such intensity the concern and the worry and the sorrow of that. Why don't we feel the exhilaration that they are okay with the same intensity that we would? We tend to take well-being and things are good. We tend to fall into this pattern where, how are things? Well, fine, everything's going along okay, as though that was nothing, you know? And if how are things going, if something was a real problem, then we'd have this intense sense of gratitude and or grief and foreboding or whatever. Why can't we up the level of intensity of the things that really are incredibly joyful, but that we just take for granted.
Yeah, in fact, I do have to say that one of our missionaries, our granddaughter, who's been out for a year now, did not go to a third world country. She went to Sydney, Australia, but Mandarin speaking.
In Chinatown.
She has this very close Sydney. World in Chinatown, in Sydney, just very difficult circumstances learning that really difficult language. And she struggled a bit because it's hard. It's so hard. She's just doing swimmingly, we say. But every day is a little bit of a struggle, especially for the first 6 months until she got the language down. So we always have some beautiful things in our life that also bring along really difficult trials.
Maybe the biggest thing a lot of us take for granted, although less so for us lately, is our regular everyday health. You know, I mean, we wake up in the morning and the inclination is to focus on what's hurt, what's hurting that day.
Yeah.
And if we can feel the same degree of gratitude for all the things we take for granted, I can see today, I can hear today, I could get up today, I could walk today, my tooth didn't hurt today. We just take all that for granted. We focus on the one thing that doesn't feel so good. And that's fine, we should, but how can we be more aware of all the things that are good and all the things that are okay and just find more joy in them? What's the antidote, do you think, Linda, to taking for granted? What can a person do to stop taking things for granted and start appreciating more?
I think you gave the key word in there, just to wake up thinking, I'm going to feel some joy today. It's going to be a joyful day. And there are moments of joy every day.
You're good at that, honey, I got to say.
Well,
you're better.
Yeah, this is silly. But anyway, we do just take things for granted every day. Just to walk through Costco this morning and just throw in a bunch of stuff and we're having a family reunion this afternoon. It's such a joy. And certainly we've been on the other end of that stick too. I mean, we were starving students for a long time when we had to really be careful. I did very careful.
No, we did. We went
about
to
what we bought.
When we went to the vegetable market in Boston every week and we had $3
$6.
Three each.
Oh yeah.
To buy our food for the whole week at this, you know, Haymarket Square.
Well, that was our vegetables, market. But I think that our budget for the week was $20. And I mean, that really dates us. That is a long, long, long time ago.
Well, if I was going to say, I mean, just building on what you said, the antidote for taking for granted, TFG, this villain, TFG that we want to wipe out in our lives, I would say the two antidotes are gratitude and praise. Now, we've talked a lot about gratitude as the opposite of TFG, of taking for granted. And just people, a lot of us keep gratitude journals, or we have a place where we think about one particular thing we're really grateful for that day. And that clearly is an antidote. That makes you notice the little things and not take them for granted, but be thankful for them. But the other part I would throw in is praise. A lot of people, I've run into this question lately, why is it so important to praise God? Why are about 30% of our scriptures devoted to praising God? Does God need our praise? Why do we do that? And I think the simple answer is, when we're praising God, we're reminding ourselves of His goodness to us and His glory and His greatness, and which at the same time reminds us of our own nothingness, of our own need for every breath we take coming from God. And something about that throws you right into a different mindset than taking for granted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now we're realizing we don't deserve anything we have. We can't sustain ourselves for 1 hour. We can't imagine what it took to create this remarkable earth and all of its nature that we live in and so on. And so in praising God, we're reminded of our own nothingness, and we're reminded that we should take nothing for granted because we don't deserve any of it. We didn't create any of it. It's all gifts to us. And that is a really good antidote, for TFG, this villain, TFG.
Right. And I think praise is more than, even more than praising the Lord, but which we do when we're grateful, for sure. But I think praising other people is a huge thing too. I mean, I think sometimes when we're having a disagreement with a child or somebody in the family, just a little compliment, a little praise of, you know, how much we appreciate what they do goes a long, long way, as long as it doesn't sound like I'm just saying this to get on your good side. But it really, praise is a really important word when it comes to gratitude.
It really is. And when you think about, Linda, when you think about the whole idea of trying to eliminate taking for granted from your life, it starts working even on things that aren't very good. Like, for example, while we were in Virginia Beach, we really wanted to see the sun. And day after day, the first 4 days, it's cloudy, it's gloomy, it's the hurricane watch and so on. But something about having this attitude of not taking things for granted even turns that around. And I think both of us started saying, hey, look how gorgeous this storm is. Look how beautiful that cloudy sky is. Look at the power of weather. Let's appreciate it. Let's not resent it. Let's not take for granted in a negative or positive way. Let's just be aware. So maybe I'd add that to the antidote thing, gratitude, praise, and awareness, just awareness that, hey, there's a lot of great stuff going on right now.
There is. And I think sometimes we don't often enough give our gratitude to God for the things that we have. I mean, praise the Lord is, I love it. The Negro spirituals are all about praise the Lord. And I think so often we don't say that. We don't think in our minds, I am just a little drop of rain here. And I'm so grateful for the Lord and for what he brings to my life and all the goodness that I have because of him, especially when you're in the darkest spots.
Yeah. I've been thinking this morning, why do we both feel so passionately about this villain of TFG, taking things for granted? Why do we want to drive it out of our lives and help our kids and our grandkids drive it out of their lives? And I think part of the reason is we wrote a book a few years ago that was probably our second or third best-selling book we've ever done, called The Entitlement Trap. And it's essentially, when you think about it, it's about helping kids not to take things for granted.
Yeah.
You know, because we live in a world where kids are just given so much and everything is easy for them. And parents are helicopter parents trying to hover over and make everything work. And they feel entitled. And when you feel entitled, think of that word, entitlement. That's like, I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. And when you're entitled to anything or think you are, there's no gratitude. There's no appreciation. There's no wonder. There's no awe because, hey, well, I'm entitled to that. And so that's sort of another way of saying taking things for granted. If we could drive out entitlement and drive out TFG in ourselves and our kids, we'd all be so much more joyful.
Exactly. And I think we can close really by saying how grateful we should be for our kids, for our families.
Right.
We're going to be with them today. And how often do we really say, I am so grateful that you did this or this. We have a daughter that wrote to me in the night saying, I'll go get those groceries. Just don't worry about it. And I was already walking out the door when I got it. But they are so dear to really be helpful. And sometimes they aren't. I mean, sometimes they're naughty.
Yeah.
And still, you have to be grateful for them. And just that little bit of praise brings a lot of gratitude. It gives it to them. It also brings it back to you.
So enter this challenge with us. We're trying to drive out TFG. Even when something is occupying you that is hard or that you're focused on something that's not good, like let's say you're ill or you've got an injury or you're worried about some health aspect, can you find a way to shift that emotion, all that emotion, that negative emotion, to a positive thing? Like, well, but I'm sure grateful there's a treatment for it, or I'm sure grateful for a doctor I can go to or a medication I can take, or, you know, you can always find a way if you try, and we're trying to keep ourselves conscious of this, of not taking anything good for granted and not overly dwelling on anything bad, but finding something to be grateful for, to praise God for, and to be aware of that's positive.
Absolutely. That's our challenge to you as well as ourselves. And want to thank you for being here today. You're wonderful. And
we don't take you for granted.
We don't take you for granted. And we'll see you next time on Ayers on Their Own.
Bye till then.